الرحمن الرحيم. Today we look at Surah 104, which is Surah Al-Humaza. Now, Mufassirs are divided according to Shan al-Nuzul or why it was revealed. But even Tabatabai says that whatever they have mentioned is what he calls tatbik. Tatbik means that when something is there and then you try to apply that to an incident, thank you all. This surah mentions about this thing. And there is an incident in history which is so related, so you try to solve this surah maybe because of it. Whereas what the Mufassirs have related regarding those incidents, I mean, it's not even the same. I mean, they have contradictions amongst themselves as to what the pastor was and what they actually did. But what everybody says or is sort of common between them is that some of them kuffars, or some of the chiefs, or some of the rich people of the Quraysh were sort of either slandering the Prophet or making jest of him. That's when this surah was revealed. The surah takes its name from the word Humaza, which is there in the first ayah itself. So the surah begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Now, wail is common, I mean, it's in the Quran. Wail means woe to evil being, something sort of showing that this destruction to all, may they perish, or evil, this is very bad, showing total disgust. So, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ. Wail for every humaza till lumaza. Now humaza and lumaza, both the words, most of the Mufassirs are agreed that they almost mean has identical meaning. And the range of meanings, I mean, that is conveyed, conveys a huge sort of range. It is anybody who talks evil of others, slander, defame, backbite, that is Giba, as well as Namima, which is sort of telling somebody else, or making two people fight by telling them, see, he says this about you, and they don't tell the other one, no, that means that people are to fight. All these things included, whether it's by tongue or by action, because one of the words, Humaza, literally, Hamaza, originally means to make an action with your eye, in such a way, sort of deprecating, or somebody making somebody sort of feel small. And he said, and that is sort of, in one of the riwayas it says that when somebody, a person comes to ask somebody, a rich man, a poor man, and he mocks him or does something like that, that's an accident, showing this contempt for the person asking. So anyway, that's why, for example, anyway, even if Giba on the chapter of Giba, anybody wants to bring proof of the Quran, is called this ayat, kulli humazatin lumazah, wailun li kulli humazatin lumazah. Anybody who defends, slanders, blames. Now it's not the word humaza and lumaza, as those who know Arabic, it's called this ta marbuta. This is not a feminine ta, but it is the ta of this sigatul mubalaga. Mubalaga is somebody who does this often. But that he has become his habit, I mean, it's part of him. You know him by this person who is always mourning, groaning, blaming others, defaming others, slandering others, talking bad of others. Whenever you see him, that thing is with him. Not a person who sort of says it once or twice or sometimes, but a person who is continuously does it. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Now, the other two ayahs are sort of way, sort of surprising, the sense that people who do this are mainly since people whom the other ayah relate. I mean, this is the cause of their doing this. Allazi jama'a ma'lam wa addada. The one who jama'a together, mal is the novel property, wa addada, and keeps on counting it. Well, like all of us in terms of just collecting wealth. And he keeps on counting it all the time. Sort of he gets a lot of pleasure out of this counting and having this wealth, lot of money. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He thinks that his wealth, أَخْلَدَ, حَلَدَ is to stay in a place for a very, very long time. For أَخْلَدَ is to make him stay there for a very, very long time. And from it, it comes up. Whatever people say that it is. Actually, the Quran is حَلَدَ or أَخْلَدَ or خُلُود. It means forever. Without an end. But literally it means for a very, very long time. So he thinks that his wealth will make him live for a very, very long time. Now, surprisingly, the Quran, I mean, has a lot of emphasis, and even in the Hadith, and Ghazali says this is because there is a natural tendency in man which Allah has put him to collect wealth for survival, to collect necessary wealth. Now, to counterbalance that tendency, there is this recommendation of the Quran and the Hadith, well, it's not a good thing. It's to counterbalance. This tendency, naturally, nobody needs to tell us that look, wealth is good. It is there within us, something that is with us all the time. To counterbalance it, that we get to a middle point of this, right? These recommendations are there, these sort of always telling us that look, it's not good to go after wealth all the time. To counterbalance this natural tendency that we have, all of us have this tendency. It's wrong to say that there are some words we don't have or others have. In fact, even it's where those who are poor, I mean, they may say that, okay, the rich are poor. They are sort of content themselves by saying that the rich are poor, they're black, everywhere. But they are not sort of different from the rich. I mean, if they are given some money, I mean, they'll take it, won't they? So this is this tendency, this gathering of wealth, or this love for wealth, which is sort of mentioned here, rather than saying that it's not in a million, or maybe a person has thousand millions like this, or a million, it may not be like this. So this tendency, this love, الَّذِي جَمْعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ, collects wealth, keeps on amassing wealth, keeps on counting, or gets pleasure out of it. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ, thinks his wealth is going to make him live ever, forever. Now this also in another ayah, and that is actually true in some sense. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَجْغَى عَنْ رَعَاهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Man, insan, man, whenever he transgresses their bounds, he does injustice, he gets on to all this bad, evil, and رَعَاهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When he sees himself independent, when he, and independent here is from when he sees that he doesn't have anything, he's got so much pride, and he doesn't see it, he has independent development. He goes on rampant and sort of does whatever he thinks, he's right, he can't see himself, he thinks fit for his own self. So, this sort of need in us, or poverty in us, in some way does put a check on us. But maybe because of maybe we are so too busy collecting wealth enough to even feed ourselves, that we haven't got to come for others, whereas these people have sort of passed this period. And they have time for other things. But whatever the case may be, and this, for example, even when we look at Ghazali, he says that this very few people who are rich and are good. And in fact, in the Hadith we have, which was that the Prophet said, do not wala tujalisul amwal, do not seek, or do not have company of the dead. The people said, who are the dead? The Prophet said, al amwatu humul aghniya, the dead are the rich. I mean, don't seek company of the dead, don't seek, don't associate with the rich, because you'll become like that. And when we see in this ayah also, I mean, these people, when they are constantly doing humaza and lumaza, it's because of their wealth. They think that they have something which others don't, or because others are, we usually see them rich and always compared to poor, because they are lazy, they are not like that, or they are not working, or they are also something for nothing. This is because of their pride. It comes from their pride, because they are wealthy, or put a lot to on the bread and put everybody else. So try the title of the Muslims. And this pride is the thing that starts complaining, blaming, slandering, and all the other things that we do stems from this pride. And pride is one of the worst things. Wealth is bad, or this material thing is bad, because it brings this pride. And it is this pride that which sort of makes you do more all the other bad actions that we commonly associate with the rich. And then the Quran, and then the ayah goes on, Kalla, la yumbadhanna fil hutama. Kalla. Kalla means no, it's not like that. Not what they think. They are going to live forever. This world will continue for them forever. Never. La yumbadhanna. Yumbadhanna comes from nabadha. And whenever there is this noon with a shadda at the end, it means a lot of emphasis. When I say la af'alanna, I will certainly, afla af'alu, af'alu, I will do. Af'alanna, I'm certainly going to do it. La yumbadhanna, they are certainly going to be, nabadha is to be cast, to be thrown. I mean, when you throw something away. Just as in the Quran, it says that the kufar, nabadha kitab Allahi wa ra'a dhuhuri. They threw, they cast it, their book of Allah behind their back. That is not caring. Similarly, these people will be just cast, I mean, it's something rubbish that you just throw it away, cast it away. These people will be just thrown away. Kalla la yumbadhanna, they will surely be thrown away, cast away. Fil hutama. Hutama comes from hatama. Hatama means to break into pieces. And even hutama, one of the meanings of hutama is also somebody who eats a lot, and everything that goes in the belly is cracked. And one of the names of the fire of hell is also Hutam. Anything that is put in it will be broken, burned down, pieces. So, no, it is not like that. La yumbadhanna, he will be surely cast in the Hutam. This thing which will break him to pieces. And then gives an, more explanations to what this is. Wama adraka mal Hutama. And what do you think? How will you know? What will make you know? Adraka, what will make you know? Mal Hutama, what is Hutama? Hutama is Narullah al-Muqada. Nar, all of us know, Narullah, God's fire. It is God's fire. Al-Muqada is sifa for Nar. So, Awqada means to light a fire. Muqada, fire which has been lighted, which is blazing. It is God's blazing fire. So this fire is the nisba or the relation given to God. It's God's fire. So it's not like any ordinary fire that we think of. It's God's fire in every sense. His action sort of differs from those of ours. This fire differs from the fire that we light. In the sense that allati tattaliu ala al-afdi. This fire burns and looks over ala al-afdi. Afida is the plural of fu'ad. Fu'ad is heart. This fire looks or burns the heart. It's not a fire which comes from outside and then touches the outside. This comes inside. Burns the hearts of people. And heart is, as we explain in the Quran and all these places, they don't refer to this heart, this slab of meat or whatever it is, but it is yourself. It burns you within. He burns your inside, burns you. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْسَدَ. And it is over them, مُؤْسَدَ. Asada is, asada means to close. Just like, for example, when you have a pot, you close the top. Everything inside stays inside. So, إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. This thing is closed over them. It will be closed. So it will be kept, vaulted over them. And this sort of could refer to some of the verses that say that also when we sort of read you and comment, talks about atbaqiha. Atbaq is layers. So this will be closed over them. People will be putting in another thing, closed somehow. There's another layer. So it's layers of fire. And one of the hadith from Imam Sadiq says that when initially people will be put in, I mean, of course, there will be believers in the hell as well as non-believers. So the non-believers will tell the believers, I mean, your belief is not prophet, you know, you are just like that. What's the difference? Then Allah will tell the prophet, the prophet that you go and make shifa for anybody that you want, make shifa, then the imams will make shifa, for the means will make shifa. Finally, everybody will believe in one sense or another. Second up, the fire will be closed, vaulted over. This is the stay. Those who stay there at that moment will stay there forever. And those will be the disbelievers. And when it is said, for example, I believe so from Kul La Ilaha Illallah. Can anybody who says La Ilaha Illallah believe in La Ilaha Illallah? One person will ultimately be down to the fire. And those who stay over, they will close the world and forgot to stay there forever. Now this is talking about the top, and the last ayah talks about the sides. Fi amadim mumaddada. Amad is poles, mumaddada stretching high. So with poles stretching high on the sides, on the top covered over. Now what these poles are, this is just a cell, just an example, just like prison. Road, poles on the sides. There will be no escape from it, like a prison, close from the top, close on the side. These people are staying forever. So that's the end. I mean, it's a close, small surah with, as I said, historically, very few people have decided to claim that there's meeting in the spark. But anyway, there is a good example in it. This thing about, I mean, I don't know, it is something you have to think about. All the hadith, lots in the Quran, is talking very much against wealth. There must be something in wealth that is like that. And to give an example, Ghazali says this thing, wealth like those snacks which have been sort of, when they go into hibernation, it's very cold. You think that they are nothing, I use them, used, they are harmless. But when you bring them out, somebody comes to Baghdad and puts them in the brain. First thing the snake is going to do is to bite the owner. You may think they are harmless. The world is like this, looks nice and beautiful. You think it's what can do to them. And this one, once you get it, first person is going to bite you. So remember, there are very few who get away from it. And also, as we know, the Bible says it is more difficult for a wealthy person to go to heaven than for a camel to pass through the ground. Not wealthy, not flying. But in the Bible, it shows that wealth is more difficult for them. There must be something in the power that corrupts. And it corrupts in such a way that we are not, those who are wealthy are not aware of it. I mean, that is the harm in wealth. That when you are corrupt, you do not feel that you are corrupt. You do not think you are corrupt. You think you are doing good, whereas you are corrupt. So, it is sort of important for us to always be on our guard and to see that we may be corrupt. We may have been affected by wealth. But I know of people who, there's a friend of mine who wasn't that rich very long ago, but he's quite rich too, but he says that his lifestyle has not changed since he was poor. And I can see him change my friend's time, his best step, his camp pass, where he had one pass, and all these other things. I mean, he doesn't feel, he still feels that he needs more, his lifestyle hasn't changed at all. And this is the case with wealth. I mean, the more you have the source load, the more wealth you get, your needs will grow to take over that wealth, so that you have needs which will be enough for whatever you have. I think we'll stop here. If there is anything, not only regarding this surah, but the way we are going, always feel free to come and say something. We may correct ourselves. I gave the example that these people are slender in the process. Small of them, just them verifying the name. Well, I mean, I was just saying what the hadith says. Even I still like you, but that's why I tried to say what's in the hadith. So I also, when I read it, I think they are all putting down. But even when you look at history, I mean, most of the people who have done corruption, they were, how many poor people have done any mischief in poor, meek people? How many of them, even they can do anything? I mean, what can they do? In society, who follows the poor? Nobody. There is a rich just something to come to tradition. Rich, poor try to emulate. And all this, so there is something in the rich. I mean, everybody talks about the rich, everybody follows the rich, everybody wants to be in the good books of the rich. How many wants to be in the good books of the poor? That's why we have in the hadith, sit with the poor. Sit with the poor. Be friends with the poor. Yeah, but even the rich people, how many build it for what purpose is that? There's a very nice saying about Mullah Nasruddin. I mean, whatever, it's bad. They were building this mosque and they said, Mullah, why don't you come? He said, we're doing this for the men. He said, what do you mean we are doing this? We're doing for the good of the people. They're building. When it was finished, he went at night and put his name on top of the build by Mullah Nasruddin. So the next day they came and said, this idiot, we told him to come and help us. He doesn't even help us. And now he put his name on top there. So didn't I tell him you were doing it for your name? Why are you doing it? Allah knows you're busy, so why are you worried about him being there? It is to the extreme, but there is some sort of moral lesson in it. Even we, when we do small things, we want to have them. But yeah, I agree. I mean, even then, the benefits are there for the people, the rich people. But what is it, the arrogance, and then the arrogance, and the other thing that's going to be, how do they get there? But I know a person that is going to train any of the rosas of the imams, and I said, do you know who built this thing? No, built by ordinary people, built by kings and princes, and people who have robbed so many people, all the money was stashed away from the poor. I mean, and they have built this thing. Okay, maybe the person is lying, and they want to build their own name, not sort of because of the honor of this people. We do not see this things. I don't want to say they are small mosques, they are going to be ordinary people, simple things. And there are also hadiths which say the same thing of the Prophet, that time will come when there will be big mosques going over the person they will be like anyone. Whereas now, small mosques, people are not going to be better. So I don't know, I mean, I agree, I mean, all the time we shouldn't, but as I said, it's really right, because this love for wealth is within us, so there has to be something to counterbalance. And that's why this plan is there. So we shouldn't sort of say that everybody is rich in wealth. As the Bible says, that for a rich man, the Quran says, change it, so for the best man. That's a very good character. For the wealth and wealth of contribution. I would like to quote something else here. There is a hadith from the Prophet that says that the wealthy are doomed except those who stand in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And taking this, even Kashani and Ghazali, both of them said, if even if the people were given a lot of wealth and they did become very good and spending, I would pray, say that it's better for them not to have it. Than to have it and give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's dangerous for them. Even that wealth is to give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The evil that is bringing within themselves, not for the society, everybody within the people. So he said, I would say better for them not to have it and not to give it in the way of Allah. Okay. The good that they bring compared to the evil. The potential is. And that's why, yeah, I agree, that's why it's been sort of, in the Sharia it's been not sort of condemned, but we have been sort of warned that these are the dangers. But the good thing, I mean, the love for it is there within us, so there is no need to tell us that we're going back there. We will get back. If anybody can get well, they will get well. I don't doubt. Apart from some sort of